What do you believe would work best for failing school districts?
What we're seeing across the nation is we see high school graduation rates at all-time highs. We see dropout rates down pretty significantly. African-American dropout rates are down 45%. Latino dropout rates are down 50% from 28 to 14. That is huge. Higher high school graduation rates and lower dropout rates have led to more than a million more students of color not just graduating but going on to college. So I say all that to say in many, many places we are seeing people challenge the status quo in some very significant ways and getting much, much better results for children who live below the poverty line, for Black and Latino children. So this work is hugely important. People need to come together, sort of get, you know, help each other in this. And I always say there's one common enemy, that's academic failure. And there's one common goal, and that's academic success and giving every child a chance in life. So, I just hope, cool heads will prevail. People sit down the table, and where we're not getting the results for children that we need and deserve, people have to work together to challenge the status quo. And we're seeing in many, many schools and districts and states around the nation very significant progress in communities historically where historically, all too often, academic failure was more prevalent.
Do you believe in any type of mayoral control for a district when it's failing?
Well, I think having political accountability and having everyone have their reputation and resources on the line is so important. And when I led the Chicago Public Schools for 7.5 years, it wasn't just us as a school system that was trying to get better. The entire city was helping us get better. The mayor spent a huge amount of his time and energy and political capital on it. The faith-based community was very, very supportive. The nonprofits and social service agencies, the private sector, the philanthropic community. And so if a district is trying to do this hard work all by itself in isolation, I don't think that's possible. In rallying every part of the community, political leadership, business leadership, nonprofit, faith-based leadership, parents behind this work, that's where we see rapid change and rapid progress. When people are doing this work in isolation, it's frankly too hard.
There has been so much outcry across here in New York State from teachers and students about standardized testing. Any solutions, any answers to this? Because it's not working for all districts.
Yeah, I think there's a common sense middle ground on all these issues. So I do believe that we should assess kids annually. I think it's very important for children to know how they're doing, for parents to have real knowledge, and teachers and everyone to be working together to help students be successful. But I've also been very clear that in some places, and I don't know all the details locally there, in some places there's too much time spent on testing, too much test prep, redundancy in tests, duplicative tests. And where that's going on, people should scale back. And we actually are recommending to Congress in the Fixing No Child Left Behind that states should have a cap on the amount of time that they spend testing. So I think good assessments are hugely important to helping students improve and having accountability and having the public have confidence in public education. But where it's too much, it's too much. So again, if folks can come together, there is a common sense middle ground there, and many places are moving in the right direction.
Well, last week you said that funding for education is basically separate and unequal. There's a huge inequity. In New York State, it's fairly high as well. What can you tell us of what you've discovered on that?
Well, obviously, education, I believe, has to be the great equalizer in this country. And if we want to reduce income inequality, if we want to increase upward mobility, social mobility, the only way we do that is through high-quality education for every single child. And what we found, sadly but not surprisingly, and as you said, it's definitely true in the state of New York, and in far too many states, poorer districts with more poor children, more children at risk, often have less resources to work with than wealthier districts. And money alone is never, ever the only answer. But anyone who thinks it's the right thing to do to give the children the communities who need the most the least, that simply makes no sense to me whatsoever. And so that's what exists today. That is the truth today. My great fear is that that problem will only get worse if Congress, that the House bill in terms of fixing No Child Left Behind, reauthorizing it, actually would move additional money from poorer districts to wealthier districts. The problem would only be exacerbated. So we're very troubled by what we see in about half the nation's states, including New York, and we're very, very troubled by the Republican bill we see coming out of the House so far.
Particularly, that would be very difficult for the city of Buffalo. Poverty is huge here. We're probably the third poorest in the nation.
Well, it just doesn't make sense. And where we're struggling academically, we need to challenge the status quo and figure out what we can do to do much better, to do a much better job to help give children a real chance in life. But we don't want to take money from districts that are already struggling and give that money to wealthier districts. And again, that's exactly what we would what would happen if the House bill somehow became the law. And so we want to challenge states today to look at what they can do to do a better job of funding those districts that need the most help. And it's interesting, at the other end of the spectrum, there are a couple states that are doing a fantastic job of this. One is Indiana, which obviously is a more conservative Republican governor. The other is Minnesota with a more liberal governor. So this cuts through politics and ideology, and a state on the left and a state on the right are actually helping to lead the nation where we need to go. So I think those are some examples that New York State could learn from. And again, we have to challenge Congress to make this problem better, to improve the situation, not to make it worse.
Secretary, last year, the National Education Association, American Federation of Teachers, wanted you to resign. What has changed for you at all in your relationship with them this year?
We work very, very closely, and we sit down on a monthly basis and have breakfast or lunch together and work through issues. We're actually traveling together to an international summit in Canada that we do each year in about 2 weeks. And so we probably agree on 90% of issues. We disagree on some issues, but I think, the common fight to increase public confidence in public education, the goal to have every child not just graduate from high school but graduate college and career ready, the desire that we all have to increase funding and access to high-quality early learning opportunities. There's huge areas where we're working very, very hard together. At the end of the day, I think we all want the same thing, which is to give every child a chance in life. And the best way we can do that, and I would argue maybe the only way we can do that, is to give every child a chance to have a great, great public education.
Would you consider a visit here to Buffalo to its schools?
I've traveled all 50 states. I'm out in schools every single week. I'm going to Philadelphia later this week. And if there's an opportunity, an invitation or something, that's one I would absolutely look at.
Secretary Duncan, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.